ready? Are we ready? All right. Previously, we've been discussing aspects of Geirus, of conversion, and we've been focusing on the idea of Kabbalas HaMitzvos, that it's absolutely necessary that the convert accept upon himself or herself the mitzvahs and to follow the Torah, or if not, there's nothing that we can talk about. Last class, we began discussing the issue of people who cannot accept it, people who do not have the ability, and today we're going to focus a little bit more on that. The issue is children, particularly adopted children. This is a question that comes up very often. The people who want to adopt children, very much a seller's market. There's many, many people who would like to adopt children, and in terms of healthy babies, you know, I don't think you've ever had this problem before in history. There is a minimal amount. So the question is, if you limit yourself to Jewish babies, you're going to be further limited, and we'll discuss, maybe you specifically don't want to adopt a Jewish baby. So the question is, okay, you have a situation, it happens all the time all over the place, people adopt non-Jewish children, they convert them when they are still babies, or whatever age it is, while they are under the age of bar mitzvah, and they raise them as Jewish children. The question is, how does that work? I understand you can take a baby and throw it in the mikveh, no problem. Right? You can also give a baby boy a bris. We do that to everybody in our religion. But how is this Kabbalas HaMitzvos going to work? How is it possible, while I've made this point that it's really imperative that there be a Kabbalas HaMitzvos, that a person accept himself, the kid's a month old, 2 months old, how's this child be accepting anything? So that question really comes up in it starts in a Mishnah in Ksubas, it's number one on the source sheet. The Mishnah is not talking about Geirus at all, it's talking about a totally different topic. And it says, HaGiyoros v'hashvuyah v'hashifcha sheniftu v'shinaskai v'shinashtachu pachos v'ibino sholoshonim v'yom echad ksuvasa masayim v'yisham tainus basulim. That in general, we say that certain people, when they get married, so we know when a woman gets married, she gets a ksuba, and the ksuba states on it specifically whether the woman is a virgin or not, and there are major differences in terms of the amount of money that she could collect at the time of the dissolution of the marriage, depending on whether or not she was a virgin going in. So there are certain people where we don't ask, we assume that they are not. So a giyores, or a woman who was taken captive, for example, in those cases, if the woman is taken captive, we have no way of knowing whether or not she was taken advantage of, and therefore we assume she is not a basula. However, the Mishnah says, in the event that a woman loses her virginity under the age of 3, physically, the hymen grows back. So therefore, if any of these things happened, if the woman was taken captive under the age of 3, if a woman was a shifcha, was a maidservant under the age of 3, or she was not Jewish until before the age of 3. So in those situations, the Mishnah tells us, even if she in fact lost her virginity, it came back. So that doesn't matter. An interesting Mishnah unto itself, but what the Gemara is going to focus on, what we want to focus on, is this idea that there's a possibility for someone to convert under the age of 3. It's sort of a backdoor comment, but the Mishnah mentioned that if a woman converts under the age of 3, her ksuba can read besula, which implies very strongly that there's a possibility for someone to convert at a very young age. And the Gemara wants to know, how could you possibly do that? A 2-year-old baby? What are they going to accept? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, ger katan matbir noso al das beizdin. When a ger, a convert, is a katan under the age of bar or bas mitzvah, and they themselves do not have the mental capacity to accept the mitzvahs, so the beis din does it for them. The beis din provides the das, the beis din provides the mental capacity. Mike Mashbalon, what are you talking about? There is a concept of zachen lo adam shelo b'fanav. What does that mean? I am walking down the street and I find something. It's a baseball card. And, you know, I don't collect baseball cards, but I know Shlomo collects baseball cards. He likes baseball cards very much. So I say, you know what? I am going to pick this up on behalf of Shlomo. In the event that it gets stolen from me, who has the claim on it? Shlomo does, even though he's never seen it before. He never asked me to do it for him. But being that this is something that I think he would like, then, of course, it is his as of now. Now, of course, if I go to Shlomo later on and I say, I got a baseball card for you. And he turns to me and he says, that guy, he's the worst player ever. I would never, I'm the one who threw that card out. Right? Last night, there was a tie game in the ninth inning and he struck out with the bases loaded. Right? This guy, I never would want his card. So in hindsight, what I did for him was not a zechus. It was not something that he would have wanted. So therefore, from the get-go, it was never his. So there's a concept that I can do something for somebody else on their behalf, even though I was never asked to do it. Assuming, A, there's a general assumption out there that this is something that people want. And B, this person actually wants it. So too, the Beis Din has a right to make a decision that this is something, this is positive for this child to convert. And based on that decision, the conversion works for this child. The Gemara says, wait a second. It's so good to be Jewish. It's beferish. Shver zezani yid. It's shver. It's nishgid. So it's being that, that's the case. How can you tell me that this is a zechus? So
not only that, he has to have his own das, so he has to do it, just like you're just bringing out the baseball card.
We'll get to that. So Tanina, the Brisa says, Zachim l'adam shelo b'fanav, v'ein chavin l'adam shelo b'fanav. You can only do something which is good for the guy. If it's bad for him, you can't do it. Ma'u d'teimo v'kachom mefker anichalei. If you ask the guy on the street, you want to be Jewish, you want to be a guy. You want to eat a McDonald's or not eat a McDonald's? You want to be able to go to the ball game on Friday night and not go to the ball game on Friday night? What is it that you want? So, Pashtus, the obvious choice is Behefker Adichle. He'd rather not have these obligations. So, why is this so good for this fellow? The Akai Moron, the Evid Vadi Behefker Adichle, Kamashuron, the Hani Miri Godel, the Tom Di Isura, Avokotan Zuchusula. No. When the kids are ready and the person's an adult, and they realize that these are the possibilities of what I can do, and this is what I can't do, at that point, no one wants to be Jewish. But as a one-year-old, two-year-old kid, what do you know? Right? You ask my kids, you like to be Jewish? They love to be Jewish. They don't know what they're missing. Now again, we hope at some that as life goes on, as they get a good education, they'll keep that. But in general, a kid off the street doesn't know. So again, the idea that maybe for an adult this isn't so wonderful, but for a kid, the Gemara says it is good. In fact, there's a proof that this works, and he quotes our Mishnah, Hagiyos, Vashruya, Vashivcha, Shiniftu, Nishkaiv, Nishtachru, Pachos, Mibel, Shoshon, Vyomechad. The proof is that this has to be true, is because the Mishnah just said, you can be a Giyores, you can be a convert under the age of three. To my Rad Ibrahim, Rav Bezdin. So obviously, the Mishnah must be talking about this case where the Beis Din does on their behalf. It says, no. Nope, that's not the case in the Mishnah. Hach b'mayaskin b'gersh n'skayu b'ano v'vnos av imo. D'nichalu b'maydav v'avuan. No, perhaps the only case where a kid can be Megayer is if the whole family is Megayer. You have this sometimes, the mother, the father, somehow they get in their mind they want to be Jewish. And they have a bunch of kids, and now it's everybody in the pool. We're all going together, we're all going to be Megayer. He said, in that case, of course, you're living with a family, the family's all Jewish, so in that case, what are you going to do? Of course you're going to be Jewish like everybody else. You don't want to be the Shabbos Goy of the family. So in that case, but in general, for a regular kid, what's so good for him? So Amar Rav Yosef Higdil Yechon Limchos. Rav Yosef makes this very important statement, that one way or the other, if the kid was converted under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah, when they reach the age of majority, they have a right to back out. That's what Shlomo was talking about. if we're talking about zachen la'adam shalom b'fanav, that I am doing you what I think is a favor, A, it has to be a good thing in general. That was the discussion of Gemara. Is it so good to be a Jew? The answer is yes. The Gemara seems to think that it is a good thing. But you yourself have got to want it. So now that I'm a 12-year-old girl or a 13-year-old boy and I see what it means, I have a right to say I was never interested in this. And in the event the child says that, it's not that they stopped being Jewish, it's that they were never Jewish. Which is very interesting. So let's just give an example. I have an adopted child. I convert them. He pours me a glass of wine on Shabbos. That's not mavushal. 5 years later, the kid decides I am backing out. So not only is the kid that 5 years ago, the wine wasn't kosher because of it. So that's the story. Because we're going with the same logic. It's all based on Zachon L'Adam Shelo B'Fanav. If we're talking about Zachon L'Adam Shelo B'Fanav, then it has to be both in the abstract of Zuchus, as we're saying, in the abstract that they would want, and practically in this case, it also has to be something that this kid wants.
The wine would still have to be around.
What?
The wine would still have to be around.
No. I drank the wine 5 years ago. Ends up, the person who poisoned me was a guy.
It's not here. It doesn't make any difference. It's nothing.
I did an Avera.
Well, if he can be Mochad, where is it? How is there a school?
What do you mean? It's every case.
This person decides it's not a school.
So again, but in general, it's a chus. It's like the baseball card, right? In general, people would want it, but he personally doesn't want it. It doesn't change the overall idea. Just in this case, not as a chus for me.
Can you see until that point that he was moskim because he didn't stop it, etc., etc., and therefore he's under his parents' rishus or this or that, and therefore it's not an avera, and or whatever.
No. It's clear that l'mafreya he was not that. Again, just like the...
Okay, but until now you assumed it was...
Take the baseball card. In the case where I give over the baseball card to you, and you say you didn't want it. So let's say in the interim it was stolen. So who has the claim on it now? I do, because I couldn't have been coined for you. But my friend, it was never yours.
Right, but the difference between the two cases is the baseball card, you give it to me, and if I take it right away, great. Then it shows out. If I don't take it right away, so then obviously there's an issue. But... up until this point, in the case your example of with the one, etc., until this point, I was perfectly fine with it. I only made the choice after the fact. Meaning, 10 years.
No, this is the first moment you get to make the choice. Right. As you read on in the Gemara.
I understand. Now you have das, once your bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah.
Right.
I understand that.
Right.
What I'm trying to say is, until now, you could just assume that everything was perfectly fine because you're.
So let's finish up the Gemara. The Gemara actually talks about this. So Esve Abaye Hagiyos Vashriya Vashik Krishniftan Shakru Vapakot Khusos Vibnos Shosham Yamech Suvasa Masaim Visaka Dakri Dil Yachon Limchos Yavin and Ksuva Dazl Vaakha Bigyusa. Yes, so wait a second. So what's the case? The kid converted at the age of 2. The kid got married at the age of 5. The age of 5 the kid got a ksuba. The ksuba was for how much? 200. Right? Now at the age of 13 the kid decides I never want to be Jewish. So how did the kid ever write to the ksuba of 200? It could be that the gerus was never a gerus. So why are you giving this kid a ksuba at all? Once you tell me higdili yachol limchos, once you tell me you can back out of it, so the kid might become a guy again. What's the answer? L'chi gadla. No, we don't give her the ksuba until she becomes a gadola. At the age of 12, she gets a ksuba, and that's for 200. So he got nami mechin nafka. Okay, so now at the age of 15, she's going to back out. Then what? The Gemara says no. Kevin shigdil shah achas lo v'amichsa shuv eni yachos limchos. You can only be moche at the moment you turn bar bas mitzvah. You get one shot. If you do it, then great. If not, forget it. That's the Gemara. Okay, we haven't even got the Rishonim. That's just the Gemara. Gemara says the whole idea of katan being megayer is based on this concept of zachen l'olam shelo b'fanav. Tosfos right there and then's got a problem with it. So we'll do a little outside first. So we said there's a concept of zachen l'olam shelo b'fanav. Even though you didn't ask me to do something, I could assume you wanted me to do it. If you would have asked me to do it, what's that called? You asked me to do something. Shliach, very good. I'm your agent, your shliach. So what is zachen? Zechia mitam shlichus. Just like you can ask me to do something and I can do it on your behalf. This is one step beyond. I could assume you would have asked me this and then do that on your behalf. Zechia mitam shlichus. So Tosfos says that makes problems. Betema, I got a question, Tosfos says. The ha zechia havi mitam shlichus. We all know that this idea of zachen is only based on the fact that I could do something for you had you asked. Because since it's good for you, you would have asked me. Kedemucha b'parakam at the Bava Metzia gives a case there. V'im kein, heich zachen l'katan, v'lo ein shlichus l'katan. If a katan asks me to do something for him, I can't become a shliach of a katan. You need das to make someone into a shliach. You have to have mental capacity. Right? Let's say I deal in real estate. Richie Rich, son of the age of bar mitzvah, comes to me and says, here's $1 million. I want you to go purchase some real estate for me. So that doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because little Richie couldn't do it himself. A katan does not have the mental capacity to make a purchase themselves, and therefore, if he can't do it, he can't make a shliach, he can't make an agent. If you can't do it and you can't make an agent, so too, I can't volunteer to be an agent. So this idea of zachen by a ger katan doesn't make any sense, Tosfos says. Because I couldn't ask, if he asked me to do it, I couldn't do it, this is no better than that. So therefore, the Tosfos comes up with a fascinating chiddush. So skipping down a little bit, so he said, "The afil is zechim abanan." Let's say v'nira l'ri, the hachanami de zachen lo me midur abanan. That yeah, according to the Torah, you're right, but according to the Rabbanan, we allow a katan to do business. Therefore, we allow him to make a shliach, and therefore midur abanan, the kid can you can do zachen for him. Now, what does this mean? Tosfos says, "Spell this. This is very difficult. On the level of Deoraisa, according to the Torah, this kid's still not Jewish because there's no way we can make him Jewish. However, the rabbis say, okay, on a rabbinic level, we'll count him as Jewish. What if this kid wants to get married? So Tosfos says that the rabbis allow intermarriage." That technically, this kid is a guy. He's not Jewish. However, because why is he not Jewish? Or she not Jewish? Because they couldn't accept the mitzvahs. The rabbis say, okay, on a rabbinic level, you're Jewish. And therefore, we allow you to get married. Even though, according to the Torah, one person's Jewish and the other person's not Jewish. Still, we say, That in this case we allow midir rabbanan, and the Tosfos says it flat out.
Do you think there's a connection? You could say a kid is mechuyav de rabbanan, not the oraisa. You think in that world because he's not yet bar.
But that's mitam chinuch, right? A kid who is going to be chayev.
For you, but not chinuch. I understand.
Right, you know, I don't know.
Maybe
right, but here, but Tosfos is saying something amazing. And the essence, Im Tomar, Hechi Havi Germer, it wasn't meant to be a Germer to Rav, Sharin Le Bevas Yisrael, the Kedusha of Kedushin, Hamina Torah of Ekochavimu. It's intermarriage. Rabbis can't do that. So Tosfos says, the Yeshram, the Ksavar Commander Omer by Isha Rabbits, find the Gemara that says, the Yesh Koach, the Yachachavim, the Akar, Dovimin, the Torah, the Kumvase. The rabbis have a right to override a law in the Torah actively. We know passively they can. Right? Give an example. Really, you're supposed to blow the shofar even when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. The rabbis say, we're considered you're going to carry it. Don't blow the shofar. They're not telling us to actively do something. They're telling us passively, don't do something. This is one step beyond. They're actively saying, you can marry a non-Jew. And that's okay. That's a very, very strong statement. I don't think I need you to me to tell you that. So much so that someone disagrees with Tosfos, and that is Tosfos. People get confused. Tosfos was not one person, he was many people. So the Re here in Tosfos and Kesubis gives one answer. The Tosfos in Sanhedrin out and out rejects this. That's impossible. It is impossible on many levels. So he says, this is the middle of a bigger Tosfos. So, miyu kasha, now he the parakama de kiksubas. Damrin, and ger kotem at bilin also al das bezdin. Ucho miyu choshev ger latir bevasti soil, the kedush of kedushin, ubanav choltim miyavim. He considered absolutely Jewish. He's allowed to marry a Jewish woman. If he has children, the children are related to him. If one of them dies, the other one has to do Yibum Chalitza. It's absolutely considered a full-fledged Jew. And all biblical laws. Said it's impossible to give the answer that this is because the rabbis fixed this. It's not true wherever there is a rabbinic will there is a halachic way. They only have the power to passively change things. They cannot actively change things like this. That is not allowed. But I come about saying, this is very active. You can marry that man. When we say, it's not the same case as I was telling you. The Masha Bezdin Matpilin also Einam Zochim Ba'avura. He said, compare the cases. Compare the baseball card case to the case. What happens in the baseball card case? There's a baseball card. I pick it up and I'm saying, I'm calling this or Shlomo. I am doing all the work on your behalf. The Bezdin isn't jumping into the mikveh for the kid. The Bezdin isn't getting a bris for the kid. This is not a typical case where I am your shliach, I am doing something for you. No, the kid is doing everything his or herself. The kid is having the bris, the kid is going to the mikvah. This is not a case of zechiah. Because here, the person himself is actively doing what has to be done. It's not that the agent is doing it for him.
Well, that kid has no idea what's going on.
Ah. So again, we have the same problem as before, right? This is the problem we started with. Yeah, the kid can go to the mikvah, but the kid can't accept the mitzvahs. What are you going to do about that? Right? So the first approach is, okay, but we can accept the mitzvahs for him. This is a different approach. So who zoch ba'atz v'guf shenasa yev nichle tachas kanfei yashchina v'had the park v'ksubas tanina zoch n'olm shlo b'fonav. So he asks, doesn't the Gemara really sound that you're treating it like Zechiah in every other aspect? It's not a matter of that. If this would be bare for the kid, why are you bothering him? In order for the Beis Din to get involved and to allow this to go through, the Beis Din is to a certain extent responsible for the child. So the Gemara asks, is it really a responsible thing to do to make this kid Jewish? And the answer is yes, but it's not that they're doing it for him. Even though he does not have, this is your question. Similarly, he says, the original Kabbalah HaMitzvahs, it was before we got the Torah. We didn't really know what we were getting into at the time.
Perkasar Yuchsin over Rav Shimon, Gerosh Yisgai, Apochus Mibesh Rosh, Ksheir Kahuna.
Shenizra b'sulah b'Yisrael. Maisi raya me'lachal b'shalal medin. V'chol taf b'noshim. Also in last week's parsha they bring a raya from. V'arei pinchas ha'ya imayim v'af agav da'amrina. Higdil yachon limchos. Hadmin k'shegadlu sh'achas l'micho shuv ein yachon limchos. D'mol hu miru v'tfilo shal katnus. Shehoysa b'gufon v'ein chasir v'kabalas ha'mitzvos. M'toshe gidro v'micho hainu kabalas. Tosus makes an amazing statement. He says there's three things you have to do. You have to go to the mikveh, you have to get a bris milah, and you have to accept the mitzvahs. But you're only chayev to do what you can do. Up until the point that the child is a bar or bas mitzvah, they do not have the ability to accept the Torah mitzvahs. Therefore, at that point, they are not required to accept the Torah mitzvahs. As soon as they have the ability to do it, now they are required to do it. Which is why higdil yachol limchos. Now when you reach the age of majority, you can turn around and say, okay, I'm not going to go through with the last step, and therefore I'm not going to be Jewish. It's not a matter of by making an announcement now, I'm uprooting what happened originally, but rather by my refusal to go any further, it effectively kills the process.
When does it kill?
It kills it at that point.
That's the point.
Correct. That's one big difference between the two approaches. Yeah. Right? Is the kid in hindsight not Jewish? Or is the kid going forward just not Jewish?
That just seems a little contradictory because until now we're saying basically they accept it as a Nasa Benishma type of case. Mm-hmm. Now it almost seems like it's the reverse.
No.
At this point, the guy is coming to the point.
It's not a matter of, I'm going to figure it out when I learn about it. The kid does not have the mental capacity to. If a kid gets up to you at the age of four and says,
after a certain point, he could do it, but we don't allow him until he's really 13. The kid who's at the age of 8 or 9, chinuch-wise, he understands it, but we don't up him.
We assume he does not understand it well enough. He does not have the mental capacity. Again, obviously all kids are different, but there is this rule out there where you reach it. That's when you have das. That's when you can make a decision. And at that point, he has to make the decision.
Is it incumbent upon the parents to explain to this kid what's going on?
Oh, so we're going to get to that. Because as we talk about adoption, obviously the role of the parents becomes very important. So these are two major approaches, both of them within Tosfos and different Masechtas, and it's very, very different. It's very different in terms of what happens if the kid says no. It's also very different, for example, in what's going on when the kid reaches age of bar or bas mitzvah. Right? If the kid says nothing, right? Let's say you never told the kid he was adopted. And therefore the kid doesn't, what happens at that point? Is it that actively there has to be a Kabbalah HaMitzvahs? Because that's the last step and we need it? Or no, he has the ability to back out. And if he doesn't back out, what is the status quo at that point? Right. That's a big difference.
So if you refer to my small mind, what are the two ways again?
The two ways of the first approach is the approach to Tosfos Ksuvos. This is a classical case of Zechiyah. That at the time of the Tefillah B'Mikvah, the child has Kabbalas HaMitzvos, and the Beis Din is Mekabel the Mitzvos on behalf of the child. And when the child becomes old enough, he can make a decision whether or not he is happy they did that. And if he wasn't happy that they did that, it was never effective. The second approach is, no, the Beis Din is not doing anything. The Beis Din is effectively arranging the ceremony. But the Beis Din, I can't do Kabbalas HaMitzvos for you. However, we don't hold it against you if you can't do it for you either. However, when you reach a point when you can do it for you, at that point, you have to either be Mekabel the Mitzvos, or this isn't working. Now, Rashi has an interesting statement, which we'll mention quickly, number 4. Im eino av imo hevilus gayer. So this idea that the child has a right to back out, that's only in the case if the parents didn't bring him. If the parents brought him, he can't back out.
Brought him to?
To the Geirus. Had a case today of it. I was on the phone. Didn't actually do it. About a couple. The man's not Jewish. The woman's not Jewish. They have some lovely non-Jewish children. All four of them under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah. And we have to make a decision as to whether or not this is something we're going to go forward with. And you've got to make separate decisions for each ger. What Rashi seems to be saying is, in the event that the parents are both going to be Jewish, it's definitely in the child's best interest to be Jewish. Now, what is now the fact that he cares about the best interest really sounds a lot more like the first approach. Right? The idea is, if something is that much in your interest, you don't have a right to say, well, I don't want it. No, it's what's best for you. So it sounds from Rashi that you don't have a right to back out. Similarly, the Torah is a little bit of a discussion.
I don't understand. So, I mean, what's the rule that this thing works? Under what construct? Under the Torah, under the construct?
So it would sound that he's going with the first construct.
But if it is,
right?
If it is, then he should have the full right to say no.
So the answer is no. If there's something is that so
there got to be something different. So what's
No. There's no difference. The difference is that there's sometimes, let's say, you know, there's something that's most obviously is a chus for you.
It's obvious to you.
What?
It's obvious to you. It's not obvious to the kid. The kid is not a bar dash. We now have the construct that. Yes, I mean, I'm going to be Zohar for him because it's obvious to you that that's the way it ought to be. But if that's really the construct, why is it that the kid has now given up his right to now be Meir? I mean, who said that you were right? You're not right.
So again, this is a question of Zechiah in general.
Yeah.
Right? Not just limited to Geirus. There's a concept out there that something is that obvious of a zechus. It is. It just was a decision.
Only if I think so.
So again.
But remember, you're doing it for me. I mean, for the guy that you're doing it for. So only if he thinks so.
So again, we're going to have a different approach later on, which will probably answer your question.
Okay.
So we'll just hold it off. Another issue that comes up, the Torah course in the Bahag. So the Bahag raises the issue that perhaps maybe the father can give the kid a bris towards the ultimate gear, but perhaps that's as far as it goes. If you don't have das, we perhaps passing like the opinion that there is no concept of ger katan. The Torah, of course, rejects that. Now, what happens at the bar mitzvah? I've been invited previously to be a member of the Beis Din, friends of ours, their child's a convert, to be on the Beis Din at the Bar Mitzvah. So I told them we don't actually have a Beis Din at the Bar Mitzvah. The Ritva asks the question. The Ritva says, Higdil Yechom Limchos. However, if you didn't do it the first split second, it's over. So the question is, how do you do that? How do you mechaven the Shoah? That the exact split second the kid becomes a gadol? So the Ritva has a few approaches. We get number 6. Kim shigdil shah achas v'lo milchso shuvenu yachol imchos. Quote from the Gemara. V'im tova hechef shigit samtsim shetimcha shiag the mamish ra'alter. How are you going to get such an exact time? The kodam ocheinei nechom limchos. If you do it too early, you're still a katan. Mida migdil yachom limchos. Hak. Good amur hashtah. So tirtzu betosus the einam geim gemurim ad shemodino sam matam schov onchel shal mitzvah shigdira. So there's a concept that Tosus says that you've got to say to them, okay, here it is. This is your opportunity. If you remain Jewish, you'll get all wonderful things. And if not, okay, so what do you want to do? So it's not literally that second. There has to be somewhat of a ceremony. Will you explain to the child what's going on? The Ritva rejects this. Kasha. But time's up. At the time you're going to tell him, it's too late. The second's gone by. Inami, the Hachi Komar, Kim Shigdil Shahas, Lashem Yadus Komar, Kagon Shahasa, Maisa Yadus, Achr Shagodov, and Nikor and Master Shem Maasa Yadus, he shied to even like Suvaknas. So he says, no. Doesn't literally mean perhaps the first second. It's the matter of the first time you do something Jewish. The kid's at his bar mitzvah and he puts on tefillin. He lanes. Right? He does something particularly Jewish. So you're making a positive statement there that I want to be Jewish. It's not that time runs out on you. However, if you do something actively, that's that. He said the problem, the Russian Gemara ain't a noch of Hirish there. But the Gemara doesn't sound that way. He says, Kizir Shahachas, it happens 1 second, it doesn't say he did anything. It must be as the sun is setting on the day before his bar mitzvah, he starts saying, I don't want to be Jewish. 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 And he keeps on doing it until it's late enough. And he's out. So that's the idea. If that's the case, that's what it takes to get out. So what it's...
This is only according to the construct of being zoned.
So that's very good. So the question is...
according to the other construct.
So it sounds very much here that he actively has to say no. Correct. Meaning that sounds much like the first construct. Right? That is like the approach of Tosus and Ksubas. That's really a case of Zechiah. And being that it's really a case of Zechiah, then it's only going to work... you know, if he actively says no. It's not that he has to be makabel the mitzvahs. But rather, he has to announce he doesn't like the mitzvahs anymore. Rav Soloveitchik is quoted by Rav Shechter in the Divrei Harav, which is available in the Eidos Library. Rav Shechter quotes this from Rav Berzon, which he heard from the Rav, the following. He wants to know, what's the Shitas HaRambam here? The Rav always wants to know what the Shitas HaRambam is. Do you have to tell a kid at the age of majority that you can back out? And do you have to tell the kid he was adopted? So he says there's a problem. The Rambam in Hilchos Avadim says as follows. Yisrael shetokaf goy katan, o motza tina goy, vidvilu l'shem ger, Hareze ger l'shem eved, hareze eved, l'shem ben chorin, hareze ben chorin. If I get my hands on a goyish kid, okay? Or I find the kid in a basket by my front door, and I take the kid to the mikvah. If I say I want him to be matzal, this kid is going to be an eved, he becomes an eved. If I said he wants to be a Jewish kid, he's a Jewish kid. Whatever I announce, that's what he is. Markazin zem zehu Yerushalmi Yevamis Motzat Tinuk Mushloch Hidvil Hashem Eved O Esmoro Roshum Eved Roshum Ben Chorim Omor Roshum Ben Chorim. That's Yerushalmi. The Rambam Olhizkiv Zechusilo. The Rambam does not mention that the reason that you can make the kid Jewish is because it's good for him. As opposed to Delshi Hizkiv Behilchus Yisurei Bia Legabe Ger Kotesh Matvinos Olodas Beisin. However, when he talks about regular Geirus, there he mentions the reason we can do it is because it's good for him. But by Eved, it doesn't say because it's good for him. Also, what great zechus is to be an Eved? Who wants to be a slave? What gives me the right to make the kid a slave? Rambam Mori v'Rabbi Zatzal v'Shem Zikno Nagor Reb Chaim Shekavonas HaRambam La'arocha Chadosha. So the Rambam is saying something new here. If I capture a guy, or I buy a guy, I have a right to go and put him in the mikveh against his will. In that case, the Yisrael provides the das for the guy. How does that work? That's not like the regular case here. It's not that we don't require kabbalas on mitzvahs. That the master has a right to say, I am accepting it on his behalf. Why? Because this is my slave. I can make him shake lulav. I can make him put on tefillin.
Meaning he belongs to me.
He belongs to me. And therefore, he doesn't have his own free will that he's making a decision.
The kid doesn't belong to
me. I have his free will. What my opinion is more important than his opinion. If he wants to put on tefillin and I say no, it's no. If he doesn't want to put on tefillin and I say yes, it's yes. So therefore, in the case of the Eved, ultimately it comes down to the Adon, the master. However, if he's got his own mind, this logic doesn't work. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik would say the following based on this. In this case, when he grows up, he can't say, I'm not interested anymore, because it never was his decision to start with. You don't even have to tell him he's a gay. You tell him you were born this way. He doesn't have to know anything. So Rav Soloveitchik adds the following step. So therefore, when it's someone that adopts kids, it's imperative that the adopted parents be at the mikvah. And they have to say specifically that we are going to raise this child in the Torah way. He'll be sent to yeshiva. He'll be given the full education and the religious opportunities that any Jewish child will have. Because there's no difference between adoptive parents and the case of the Eved. They are going to make all the decisions for him. And therefore, according to this, unbelievable, in the case of adoption, the kid cannot back out, according to Rav Soloveitchik, because he seems to have a different approach here. His approach in this case is it's not a case of Zachen Ladim Shalom B'Fanav. It's not a case of he did it all, but he still needs the Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. It's a matter that the people that are really making decisions, the adoptive parents, have done a complete Kabbalah for him, and it's over. And therefore, it is necessary that the Kabbalah of the parents be a true Kabbalah. Based on this, Rav Soloveitchik said, La Halacha, when non-religious people adopt and convert, the child is not Jewish. If a non-religious couple goes, adopts a child, gives the kid a bris milah, puts him in the mikvah, etc., and the kid becomes a baal tshuva, he has to do his own geiris afterwards, because the Kabbalah HaMitzvahs was never there. Now that remains true according to the first approach also. The idea that it is a zuchus, that it's worthwhile to be Jewish, is only in the case where it's, in the end it's going to turn out well. If I am a person who doesn't keep kosher, I'm a person who doesn't keep Shabbos, it is in my best interest not to be Jewish. Because if I'm not Jewish, every Shabbos that I go to the ball game, there's nothing wrong with it. Every time I go to Mickey D's, there's nothing wrong with it. If I am Jewish, I'm getting myself into all sorts of problems. So if someone's going to be raised in a non-religious way, it is in their best interest to have never been converted, we believe. And therefore, even if the kid says, I like it, this is not a zechus in the abstract. In general, even if it turns out for the best, it's still no good.
Don't we have the consequence until a certain point anyways that any mischief he's doing goes to the father, any of his is going to goes to the father, except or the parents. So in essence, anyway,
but
anything he's been doing until now,
but he's going,
he doesn't have the dust.
But he's going to pass that point.
Yeah, so I'm saying, but I'm...
So therefore, point, it's better for...
Point, there's no issues.
Right, okay. Right.
Well,
once dad says, Baksha Patrani, it's for real. So therefore, in the big picture, if the kid's not going to go to yeshiva, he's not going to have an education, he's not going to be taught the proper Torah lifestyle, this isn't a good idea for him. So therefore, and we have these cases all the time. I had a Garris, I remember a few years ago, where a guy comes, and he's got a long beard. Right? The guy looks like he just rolled out of Meir Shorim into the mikveh. What's the deal, guy? Deal was as follows, that, you know, he grew up with a non-religious family, etc. He had no idea that he was adopted until one day he gets involved in Eshel Torah. He goes to Eretz Yisrael, and, you know, they're looking into it, and he sees his bris milah certificate. And in it, he's amazed to find out that his father's name is actually Avram Avinu. Dad, what was... So that he figured it out, that he was a ger, that his parents adopted him. He did not know up until that point that he was adopted. He didn't know that he was a ger. Now, at that point, of course, he was very interested in being religious. However, since in hindsight, at the original time, it wasn't a good thing for him, we didn't know it was going to turn out this way. Therefore, he had to undergo a new geris. So that being said, it is true that there is a possibility to take an adopted child who is not Jewish and, in fact, make them Jewish, assuming that they're going to be raised in a proper observant Jewish lifestyle. I'll end with two tshuvas of more modern-day poskim. Yes, you have two hands up.
Tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people in this country thinking they're Jewish but who are not because of that. They were not raised with any level of observance. They were converted by all kinds of rabbis, including some, quote, traditional Orthodox rabbis. And there was no program in place, even at the first moment. Not that it was in place for a couple of years and failed, but there was no program whatsoever. And then these conversions have been done, and there are all kinds of people running around in the community who think they're Jewish.
And I can tell you that I meet these people on a pretty regular basis in my line of work. I had a case earlier this year. I'm always amazed. So Avichai, you probably know better than me, they come out every 10 years. They used to come out with a survey of how many Jews are in the United States, what's their religious breakdown, etc. So before they release the numbers, what they do is they meet with a group of Orthodox, Conservative, and Reform separately to see if anyone's got a complaint about it. Say it before we release the thing. So one time I ended up with the luck of being in the Orthodox group, and I said to them, all your numbers are wrong. What's the reason for this? The reason for this is it's wrong is because what someone has a Jewish father and a non-Jewish mother, you put them down as Jewish. If they go on and they marry a non-Jew, you say that's an intermarriage. I say mazel tov. Two non-Jews are getting married, good for them. So I had a situation this year of a woman...
That's true, by the way, with demographic studies in Jewish communities all over the country.
Right. This is the largest one. And I said, everyone is as bad, if not worse. So, well, a situation where a Jewish man, non-Jewish woman are married, and they decided, the best school around is the Jewish day school. They send the girl to the school. They tell her, so they converted the kid. The mother remained not Jewish. Eventually, this girl grew up, and she married a non-Jew. So we said, good. I'd be much more upset if she married a Jew. But, yeah, enoch inami, as we say. Absolutely. This is a major issue. And some work's being done with it, but... not nearly, I don't even know if a mir or motzi if it is being fixed. So Moshe Feinstein asks a question, and it's a sensitive question. And the question is as follows. The question basically is, you'd like to adopt. A couple doesn't have children. They'd like to adopt a child. So the question is it better to adopt Jewish or non-Jewish? Now, if you're in a situation of, unfortunately, your neighbor passes away leaving children, obviously, and you can adopt them, that's the greatest mitzvah, that's wonderful. But no, this is a situation where you're going through an adoption agency, and they tell you the child is Jewish. However, that's about all the information you get, you know, with privacy laws in different states. All you know, they're Jewish. So Moshe says, having a Jewish child has its issues. One is, how do you know the child's not a mamzer? Why is the mother giving the child away? Maybe it's the product of incest. That's problem number one. Problem number two, as long as you don't know who the mother and the father is, how's this child going to marry anyone? It might be their brother or sister. So the problems are very real when it comes to a Jewish child. So perhaps you might say, get a non-Jewish child. So Moshe discusses it. I put the highlights here on it, but we'll skip to the bottom line. The bottom of number 8. And he says, V'imre tzosi tishmo. Moshe says, you want my opinion? Ein tzorech echane zera nachrim. I wouldn't adopt a non-Jewish child. Ki ein b'zeh shum tzorech v'tachlis rak shabo gamei asma l'skaya reshim shemayim v'tzorech kavo. We're not a proselytizing religion. There's no mitzvah to run after people that are not Jewish and against their will, make them Jewish. The bottom line is, halachically, yeah, you're in a better shape if you're dealing with a non-Jew. If it has to be one or the other, your Moshe would recommend that. I always said, but if you really ask me, I wouldn't do either of it. Who are you doing a favor here to? Similarly, you have a tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak. Also goes through the same discussion. It's a very long tshuva. You get this 26 subchapters. Now also we'll look at the bottom line. Ava b'chozos sadayin lo etzani deichov aseinu. V'chshoshos ha-gadol she-gtavnu. Al-kein v'vade al-bezen ha-oskim ezev adakte karbi b'chol ha-sharis. One is, if you're going to adopt a kid like this, be very, very careful that these are observant parents who are going to raise the child correctly, or else you're going to get yourself into real trouble. V'im v'im is heim... But if they're really a Shomer Torah mitzvahs, and they will tell the child that he has an option of backing out later on. And then he will actually go through this and he'll remain that way. Then b'di'avid it works. If you already adopted the kid, we can go through with this.
So what is he saying? Not to adopt or not to adopt non-Jewish kids?
So he's saying not to adopt non-Jewish kids. Now again, it's a long tshuva where he discusses the other possibility. He might not be too happy with that either.
And Rav Moshe is saying the same thing?
Okay, Rav Moshe talks about, Rav Moshe's tshuva, I gave you a little bit more of it. Rav Moshe talks about the question, is it better to adopt Jewish or non-Jewish? He says it's better probably to adopt non-Jewish. But he does not think that's a good idea either. It's the lesser of the two evils, but he's not excited about it. So that's the bottom line. It's a very, very obviously this is a very, very sensitive topic. You know, people that are suffering with infertility, etc. The need is real, and obviously whatever we can do to alleviate their suffering is important. However, to be cognizant and recognize the fact that this is not something that simple at all. That obviously, within the Geirus itself, one has to be very careful to make sure that the parents realize the severity of this and how important their role is. And beyond that, that the child has to be raised in a way that will have the child appreciating what's going on here. But in a perfect world, again, these aren't radical opinions. But Moshe Feinstein is as mainstream is. It's definitely not a chachila one way or the other. Any questions? Good. So we'll continue next time.